Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day is to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of the light and children of the day. You are not children, you are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of hope of salvation. For God has destined us to not destined us for not for wrath, but for obtaining the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect who will labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of them, because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all.
Thank you, Zenith. Today we are continuing on with this letter of Paul and to the people of Thessalonica as they are trying to figure out what kind of community they're going to be in the midst of some terrible situations that they're facing. As we have seen before, in this early community, there is terrible persecution going on. There is disruption between family members and friends, business partners. We hear stories of violence, of mob justice that is seeking after this body of believers who are putting themselves over against the mighty power of Rome. Today, we're going to spend some time learning from a sort of fictive community who was also trying to figure out what their lives look like and how they discern together who they would be in the midst of a terrible situation. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the 18th century, Spain and Portugal were colonizing countries that make up what we now call South America. Throughout the century, the slave trade exploded throughout the region. Of the 16 million enslaved Africans who survived the journey across the Middle Passage to the New World, only 6% landed in the United States, what we call the US. The vast majority were sold in Latin America, especially in Brazil. And in turn, indigenous people were taken by slavers and sold to other places. In 1986, a film premiered called The Mission, and it dramatized this set of events. In the movie, there's a Jesuit priest named Father Gabriel who manages to make his way up this towering waterfall to the people of the Guarani Islands. Other priests have tried and failed. The indigenous people who live there are largely sheltered from the world because of the inaccessibility of their community. But Gabriel uses music to make inroads among them and starts a mission. An interruption happens when Rodrigo Mendoza joins the mission. Mendoza was a mercenary and slave trader whose life was upended when he kills his brother in a duel. Mendoza is a broken man by the time Father Gabriel invites him to the mission. He's consumed with his own grief at the rage that led him to kill his brother. He's overwhelmed by his own sin for the work he has done to enslave others throughout his life. And so he chooses a penance. That penance is to carry this heavy armor that represents his old life on his back, up the falls and to the mission. In this scene, it's a reverse of the story of colonizing Christianity. The people of the Guanari become Mendoza's salvation, not the Church of Spain with its violent destruction and colonial expansion. It is these people who free him from this evil past and give him a new life. He finds his way into this community, into belonging, to a life that is freed from monetizing flesh for profit. They become his family. Father Gabriel lives and works among, their lives among the Guarani are threatened with the arrival of Cardinal Altamirano. The mission sits on this land that has been ceded by Spain to Portugal, and the Cardinal has to decide the fate of the mission. The Portuguese plan to enslave the indigenous people, as they already have been for decades, or the mission can remain under the protection of the Spanish church. Eventually, fearing the long-term consequences for what it would mean for their relationship to Portugal, Cardinal Altamirano decides to close the mission. And this is where those who have shared life with the Guarani and the Guarani themselves must make a decision. The rest of the story is about the two paths that lay before them. This is a true story. And in the real history of the Jesuits among the Guarani is actually represented in the character of Mendoza. He raises an army of indigenous people to fight back against the Portuguese. That's one choice. But there's another choice. It's to stay under the protection of God. And that will mean that they will die. Mendoza represents the path of defense, but Gabriel continues to stand in his way.
I want to announce my vows of obedience.
Get out, Rodrigo. I won't listen to you. Trust you?
No, it's Ralph and John, too.
What do you want, Captain? An honorable death?
They want to live, Father. They say that God has left them. He's deserted them. Has he?
Never become a priest.
But I am a priest, and they need me.
Then help them as a priest. If you die with blood on your hands, Rodrigo, you betray everything we've done. You promised your life to God, and God is love.
I've loved this movie for a long time because it doesn't actually offer easy answers to these questions. Figuring out what to do is complicated, and there is so much on the line. And in the end, just as in real life, there is no escaping the relentlessness of guns and armies and money. Even those who choose to fight back are pushed back into the jungle. In the history of the story, there's a short reprieve before settlers push deeper, widen the nets of enslavement, spread disease, and steal land. Be at peace among yourselves, Paul writes to the people of Thessalonica. We urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, to be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ among you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. It's just incredible to me that Paul can write these words about the formation of this community in the midst of these just unspeakable situations of terror. Do not quench the spirit, but test everything. Among themselves, within the life they've carved out together, they are called to figure out together the work of the Spirit, to let it flow through them as good news. This letter is written to a sect of religious rebels stationed in the capital of the Roman Empire in Macedonia. They're facing persecution. Some have been hurt, others killed. Everything they know has been swept away. It is not easy to know how to live, especially with a world filled with pain and heartache. But here to this group of people who have said yes to following Jesus, Paul gives these words. Whatever comes, this is the good life, a life worth living.
Father, I've come to ask you to bless me. If you're right, you'll have God's blessing. If you're wrong, my blessing won't mean anything. If might is right, and love has no place in the world, I don't have the strength to live in a world like that, Rodrigo. I can't bless you.
Christianity is a strange religion. It won't make you rich, and it won't give you any power. It promises to separate you from your family, from your job, and it might get you killed. But it promises a life of love, a life that turns again and again towards Jesus by cultivating ways among us about how we live this life of love together. We are given to each other as a place of refuge and a place to discern. How do we know the work of God among us? How do we do this together? How do we chart the path? Beloved, do not quench the spirit, because God is here among us. Amen.